There have been incredibly difficult times that often led us to where he would like us to go.
That they could administer to the people and minister to the people who they had.
Ultimate inner victory is how we embrace the greatest gift that God has given to us, his son Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. I'm on the campus of Brigham Young, University of Idaho, and joining me today from his home in Utah is Joel Bishop. Joel, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Good to have you here. We're in a new world of COVID, and so we're Zooming today, and good that we can do that and connect, and we're very well social distanced, so that's good. Even from the computer screen, I'm social distanced, so that's good. Joel, you're an actor, a speaker, a trainer, the owner of Rise to Your Challenge, a relatively new business for you, but not a new career because you've been doing training and speaking for a long time. I want to find out a little bit more about you, though. I think, if I remember, you grew up in California, is that right?
Oh, I'm going to blow your mind. I grew up in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Oh, yes. Sorry, mixed that one up. That's right. Wauwatosa, right. Wisconsin. What was life like growing up in Wisconsin?
Cold. During the winters, hot and muggy during the summers. No, it was great. The people in the Midwest, if you've met people from the Midwest, they are salt of the earth, great people. And I loved growing up in Wisconsin. I know we may call that the mission field, but just so many good, solid people. And I really, really appreciated my growing up years there.
Did acting hit your get to you early? When did you decide that was something you liked to do?
Well, I acted up from a very early age and got in trouble quite a lot because I just couldn't sit still. I was always very creative and wanted to do things. And as far as the acting bug goes, I can sort of pinpoint it to my sophomore year in high school. So I had sung in choirs and with my family, not like the Von Trapps, but we would sing together as a family because that was part of our heritage. So I was used to performing, but it was in sophomore year, we put together a quartet and sang a bunch of Motown songs. And when the audience stood up and they started dancing and singing along and they were cheering, it was the most amazing thing. And something about that performance bug and getting the response that maybe I always craved for, I don't know, was amazing. And so that wasn't acting, but it was the performing bug. And then I started doing plays, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Do you remember one of your first performances that you did, play or whatever it might have been?
The first play that I remember was The Order is Love. It was a stake play, and we were a bunch of deacons, and we had to sing the song, Keep Your Seat to the Grindstone, and it was... The whole idea was we wanted new pants, so we would actually get the grindstone spinning and we'd put our fannies on it and have it burn off the pants so we can get some new ones or something like that. That's about all I remember. And I remember hanging out with my friends. I don't remember much about the production.
Yeah. Well, what was like, you talked about, a stake play. What was the church like in Wisconsin, your ward? And did you do the, I know when I growing up, we did like the road show kind of thing, which I'm glad they didn't have cell phones in those days because there's no record of it. But what about you?
We did have some road shows. In fact, I had a starring role in one when I was maybe 16. And I interestingly enough, I wore a fake beard this time, but I played Noah. And, I can't remember the theme anymore, darn it, but it was fun. I got to play an older guy, and we got rave reviews in the stake. We may have even won. I don't remember.
Great reviews in the Ward Bulletin the next Sunday. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Joe, you ended up going to BYU and going into acting as your major. How did that go? What was your experience like?
It was great. Growing up in Wisconsin, hadn't ever lived in Utah, but I knew I wanted to go to BYU because that's where my siblings had gone. My parents were originally from Utah, both went to University of Utah, but they really supported us going to BYU. And for me, my experience was great. BYU was a place for me as an actor or up and coming actor or deciding to be an actor to actually test things out, to understand what my limits were and not just to learn and to grow and expand my skills, but I think a safe place to also understand who I am and what I was going to stand for. And if I was going to go into this profession, what I maybe would or wouldn't do. And I thought Brigham Young University gave me a wonderful opportunity that way with my professors and with the classes and fellow students to really test that out, make some choices.
As you were going to class, you graduated with honors, right? You top of the class, really did a great job.
I did. I graduated magna cum laude, or laude, however you want to pronounce that. But I found that after coming back from my mission, I actually could apply myself and get good grades. And it didn't hurt because I started off with 14 credits of A because I took the German test. I went to Germany on my mission, and that helped to start off my career much better. And so I stayed on top of that because it also meant you could get scholarships and things if you kept good grades, which I didn't really do in high school. I don't even know how I got into BYU in the first place. But yeah, a great experience though. Yeah.
Tender mercies that come our way. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you remember your first paid gig for acting or commercial? What was it? What did you do?
The first gig I did as a professional actor that I remember was a radio spot for Murdoch Chevy. It was me and Susie Venable, and we just recorded this 60-second radio ad, and I remember thinking, oh yeah, I'm starting. This is it. And I had no idea if it was really going to take off from there, but that was kind of the first one, and I had great agents who represented me well and sent me out for the right things. And I started booking stuff pretty soon after graduating BYU. And I was very blessed. I was able to do acting full time for about 15 years or so. And then I took a bit of a hiatus, sort of, with O.C. Tanner. I did 8 years there as a professional speaker and trainer. And then continued to act while I was there. And then came back to acting full time, which is what I'm doing now, along with my new business.
Where along the line did you end up getting married, and how many kids do you have, Joel?
I have 5 kids. Got married first. I met my wife in Germany, and we did not get married there because we were both serving missions, but we were in Berlin when the wall came down, which is kind of a cool experience for us to share. And we got married, I bumped into her at Brigham Young University when I came out from Wisconsin, first time living in Utah. First weekend, go to a dance, and I see Kristen MacArthur there, and she's looking awesome, and I ended up having her dance with me. I went to my first BYU dance and thinking, oh, it's a great chance to finally meet a lot of like-minded women, you know, that you didn't have as many options in Wisconsin. And I'm like, this is great. And then I run into a former missionary, and we ended up dancing and got married that summer.
All right. So it was the right dance to go to. It worked out great.
Yeah, it was.
That's awesome. What was it like, you know, acting as you starting a family? How did that go? Was it, you know, full-time? Because there's a little bit of what? You're not quite sure because acting jobs aren't permanent. You do a job and get the next one. How was that?
Yeah, it was certainly a challenge. Here's what helped. I had a wife that was supportive of me doing something that I wanted to do that I could be happy doing. I think she really wanted to have a husband that was, I know she wanted me to provide for the family, but she also wanted me to be happy and fulfilled and gave me the latitude, fortunately, to have a go. And she was totally supportive. And I feel very fortunate that I think, my parents have always been supportive of whatever I've done, showing me the limitations that you can't do it all, but they've always been supportive. And my in-laws were also supportive. I don't know what their inner fears were, but I had a lot of support on my side, and was just very fortunate to do enough to keep myself going and the family going. I did paint house paint through college, and those skills helped too, because there were certainly down times, and I was able to do manual labor, paint houses, do other things that way to supplement. But it worked. And I really probably took it for granted. I was around home a lot and was very fortunate to see my kids grow up, because they probably had to stumble over me to get out the door anyway, because I was around a lot more than many full-time, 9-to-5 working dads. So I feel very fortunate.
What are some of the highlights of different things that you've been able to do in your acting career, as far as maybe TV shows or appearances? What are your favorites?
I've been fortunate to do a lot of voiceover work, a lot of fun radio ads and some character pieces and a lot of narration, a whole lot of narration. Some of my favorite acting jobs have been for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I've done voiceovers for the church. You can hear me at visitor centers and around the world. And two of my favorite jobs that I've ever done because of the experience was as Parley P. Pratt in Joseph Smith, Prophet of the Restoration, that they showed up at the Joseph Smith building for years, and then as Jacob in the Book of Mormon. Those two experiences were just phenomenal experiences with the people that I got to work with the preparation of trying to portray somebody that Joel Bishop is not, he's not a prophet. He's not this great, amazing person. But I got to portray wonderful people like Jacob, like Joseph Smith Sr., like Jacob, and many others. And I just, the tender mercies that you mentioned earlier are true. Why did I have these opportunities and blessings? I don't know. But it's helped my testimony grow. It's helped provide for us as a family. And I think it's strengthened us as a family. I love comedy as well. A lot of the church projects don't necessarily lend themselves to that. But if you're a church employee and you watch the video on how to check out cars from the car pool, that was kind of fun. That was a fun spot.
Did you do any home front spots? Were you involved with that at all?
I did. In fact, it's funny, when the one that got the most interest, I did a handful of them. I did Secret Agent Dad, and that was a cool one. I got to be a spy in a tux and stuff and hide from my son. It was really fun. But the one that most people saw was, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago now. And it was a dad who's always busy and involved in himself. Hope that wasn't typecasting. And this cute little 3-year-old girl keeps coming up to me as her dad and say, "Daddy, can you weed me a stogie?" And I'd say, "Oh, not right now, honey." And she'd keep coming back. And then in the middle of the night, she comes and wakes me up and says, "Daddy, can you weed me a stogie?" And I say, "Honey, I'm too tired. Ask mommy." She goes over to mom's side and says, "Mommy, can daddy weed me a stogie?" And that spot got a lot of national attention. I know people around across the country were saying, "Hey, is that you?" Or, "Hey, I heard this radio program talking about that spot from the church." And that was really cool.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites of the home fronts. I like that one a lot. So good. And if people are watching the Book of Mormon videos and they see Jacob now, you know, look at your eyes. They can tell under all the makeup there and the beard and stuff, they'll be able to recognize there's Jacob. He's the man that's behind the videos. You know, as far as your acting career goes, you know, working for the church, not a lot of people have been able to go out to the set in Goshen and see what goes on out there with that cool set. What was it like working out there? And if people aren't familiar with it, it's a whole set that, at least from the front, what camera sees looks amazing, like all the things people have seen in the Book of Mormon videos. What was it like out there?
So stunning, but I'll have to clarify. So for my season, which was the second season, basically the end of 1 Nephi, 2 Nephi, Jacob, and Enos, we actually shot pretty much all of that up Hobble Creek Canyon. There was a millionaire that offered his property for us to film on, and it was awesome. They built some incredible sets out there, and so that looked phenomenal. The church doesn't do things halfway; they do it the right way. But I have been to the set at Goshen, and it tends to be very hot. But again, the set is amazing. They just created an incredible set, so that every angle that you turn the camera to, you get a different look. So it represented Jerusalem. It represented various places in the Nephite culture, actually Nephite and Lamanite, depending on which season you're looking at. But this last season with Alma and so forth, you'll see it, and they've kind of redone some of the pillars. All of the New Testament videos, or large portions of the New Testament videos, were shot there. And it really is amazing. Amazing enough that there's been interest from other people globally to visit or use the set, because it's that amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's totally cool you're able to do those things, especially for the church. But in your personal life, you started a new business. And you, as you said, you worked for O.C. Tanner as a speaker and trainer. And now you've opened your own business called Rise to Your Challenge. Well, tell us about that, and what do you do?
So if I can indulge just a little bit, I feel we have been led and guided so many different times throughout my life, including with acting and the jobs that I was able to do, led to O.C. Tanner, led out of O.C. Tanner. I left O.C. Tanner when I started doing the Book of Mormon video as Jacob. And the interesting thing is, Heavenly Father knows what we need in every aspect. And oftentimes, because we don't know what that is, we struggle or fight against it, or we're wondering what direction we should head. Well, I thought, great, I'm back to acting full time. That's exactly what I want to do. It is what I want to do. But things started to slow down, and we were led eventually to the point where I needed to look at something different for employment. And I just didn't know exactly what I should do. And finally, the thought resilience came to mind. And this was back August or October of 2019. And my former boss had said, you really need to be speaking and training more. You really need to do this. You have something to say. You've got an ability and a skill to do this. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me try that. And as soon as I started focusing on resilience and what that meant, it felt like this was the right path. And so since that time, my wife and I have been building this business, and it evolved to Rise to Your Challenge, because it's not just about being resilient, but it's being able to rise to whatever challenge that we are facing in life, which could be anything. It could be raising kids. It could be job loss. It could be weight loss. It could be any struggle that we deal with. All of us learn to manage poorly or well. And what I want to do is to help businesses and people and colleges and youth to understand that there are certain skills and certain techniques that we can use to overcome any challenge, to rise to the challenge and to bounce back, to become better and to build beyond where we currently are. And I feel, as my wife does, 100% led to this whole business, which we launched officially in September. But is there not a better time in the world to talk about those things? I think Heavenly Father knew in advance of COVID, in advance of 2020 and everything that would bring, that this message would be one that is very important for all of us to remember or to learn more about. And that's my goal, is to be a voice for good, a voice for strength, a voice for teaching us how we can do better.
So Joel, if I see your stuff on the internet and say, oh, that looks great. What do I do? Do I come to workshops? What happens? How do I go about that?
Great question. Thank you for that. So the easy way is you could go to the website, and this is a little bit of a pitch. I hope you're okay with that, but go to the website, risetoyourchallenge.com, and you can connect with us there. You can also follow us, by the way, on Instagram at risetoyourchallenge, or follow the videos on LinkedIn, or even our Facebook page, rather, Rise to Your Challenge. But reach out to us via text. Our phone number's there, or even through email. And happy to talk about how we can help. My main goal isn't just to go, okay, well, this is what it's going to cost to have me come do a half an hour or hour speaking event, or a 3-hour training event. Sure, there are industry standards, but my goal would be to meet you where you are and see how I and the messages I have to share can benefit you where you are.
Speaking of 2020 and COVID being what it is, kind of put a wrench into so many things, especially in-person kind of stuff. How are you managing through that, and how is that working for you?
I think we've heard before, Heavenly Father has a sense of humor. So he's guided us on this path. And I feel this is exactly where we need to be. But it's also a very difficult time to actually go out and do it, because live speaking and training events, that's kind of the heart of this new business. I'm trying to adjust appropriately using Zoom and other online features. And so I can do that. I've got the capability to do that. If anybody's interested, you know, again, reach out and we can do that. But there is something about a live performance or a live training or speaking event. The connection is just, it's different. Just like going to a live theater performance is different than watching a movie. Both can be impactful, but there's a different connection. So using technology, that's where we're at. And I'm excited to see where things go, how we use technology, how we connect, how we can share the message.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was just thinking as you're going through this, you felt like, you know, all along the way you've been guided. As you look back on your life, it sounds like you feel like you are where you are now because you've been guided where you are. Is that how you feel about where you're at right now?
100%. Again, why Joel Bishop was given certain gifts or abilities, or why Joel Bishop was given certain experiences or opportunities, I don't know. But I do trust that he knows. And I feel very, very much blessed and guided to be alive after my, you know, youthful stupidity of just being a kid and surviving. And every step of the way, whether it was going on a mission, whether it was finding my wife and marrying her, whether it was having children, serving in the church, my vocation, my schooling, all of it, we definitely feel we've been led, which is to say that there have been incredibly difficult times that often led us to him and where he would like us to go. Because I wasn't going to take a full-time job until it appeared like it kind of appeared to us as a great opportunity. I didn't necessarily want to start my own business until it felt like this is exactly where we're led. And I think Heavenly Father loves each of us and he'll guide us that way. But sorry, long answer to your question. Yes, we feel blessed and led to where we are.
Joel, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Joel Bishop, actor, speaker, trainer, Rise to Your Challenge is the name of his new company. Check him out when you're watching the Book of Mormon videos. Look for Jacob. You'll see him there as well. And if you want to wax nostalgic, go look up those home friends. You can find them on YouTube, and that's still one of my favorites. So I'm going to have to go watch that one now, and now that I know it was you, so I can recognize you. Joel, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been a real pleasure to chat with you.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you so much. And hopefully I've shared something that may be helpful to your listeners and viewers. And I do wish everyone all the best. Thank you.